All right, recording.
Okay, record. Is that going to sound okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, I super tweaked it.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Do you want to hear it back?
No, because now I can get extra mad at you if you're wrong, and that would be good enough for me. All right.
That's good. You'd rather be mad at me than have the podcast turn out okay?
Yes. More fuel for the fire. I hope we record this before the tornado comes and kills us.
We're in the basement.
Yeah, there's still glass here. Not enough. Maybe just enough to kill one of us. Hopefully you.
Well, we have beer.
That's also made of glass.
Shoot, he's right.
Exploding Barrel Podcast for November 14th, 2011. This is Mike Naughty, joined by my brother, AJ, / Ad Guy.
Yo.
/ the idiot.
Huh?
/ the other Minotti, who's not named Mike, that we don't know so much about because he's not as cool. / Waldo, / Ad Pitt. I'm just kind of getting a bit more.
What? Ad Pitt?
You don't know that my friends call you Ad Pitt?
Oh, that's right, because I live in Pittsburgh. I get it.
Well, the story goes further than that, but yeah. So hello, welcome everybody. We got a lot of games to talk about.
We got
really
a ton of games to talk about.
You know, yeah, there's a lot to talk about in the whole Our Week in Gaming. But first, we'll have the news. Then let's go topical. Then we'll get into all that, and then we'll get to the releases. And you know, that's what we do around here. So let's get going on the news. Let's
do it. We have the NPD numbers for the month.
Cool.
Not numbers, I guess. The ranking of games. In October, Battlefield 3 was the top-selling game. Followed,
surprise.
Not too far behind, it was Arkham City.
Sounds about right. Even the amazingness of Arkham City can't combat the modern shooter flavor of the decade.
Yeah. NBA 2K12 is on the list.
That's funny, since there won't be an NBA
right.
as far as I'm concerned.
Rage at number 4. Just Dance 3 at number 5.
Not bad for Rage.
Mm-hmm. Dark Souls at number 6.
That's good. That's pretty good.
That's really good. It beat out, let's see, Madden 12 is on the list again. Beat out Forza 4. Debuted at number 8.
Interesting. I mean, it's multi-platform, which helps.
Yeah. Gears of War 3 at number 9, and then FIFA 12 at number 10.
That's not a great holdover for... Wait, didn't it? When did Gears come out? September?
Yeah.
Still, that's not a great holdover for
September. Nah, it could be better, but...
I think people, yeah.
The thing is, like, I feel like a lot of these fall games are going to, like, have a huge hit of sales. Like, a good chunk of their sales will be, like, that first week.
Right.
And it kind of tapers off.
Yeah, I remember, Uncharted 3, I think they said they had, like, 3.8 million on, was it opening day or first weekend? I think it was the first day.
I'm not sure.
Which was significantly more than, like, Uncharted 2 did in, like, the first 3 weeks or something.
Yeah.
But that's great for Dark Souls.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
I mean, it got a lot of coverage, I would like to say. A lot of people are talking about it, right? So it found a market. Good for it.
Yep. All right, what else we got here? So, Mike, sound the alarm, panic.
They don't have hardware, though? MP, they don't really do that anymore.
No.
But go ahead. What am I panicking about?
The WoW subscriber numbers are down.
Oh, no.
There's only 10.3 million people playing.
Oh, God, no. You know, it's so funny how everyone... How this has always spinned so negatively.
I guess. Still over 10 million people. What MMO, what game has ever done that?
I think I just saw someone make a big deal about the fact that DCU went free, and there was like a million people playing it now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, because
it went free.
Yeah, a million people logged into it, but how many are going to keep playing it? I mean, I played it a bunch, but I don't know if I'm going to continue investing time in it.
A million people played DCU for free once. Awesome. 10 million people are paying
$15 a month.
And it's the end times.
Yep.
Yeah, that's always ridiculous. Like, look, that thing could... And it's going to probably keep going down now. They probably hit the high mark.
It's
going to level off, though.
They'll bump when Mr. Pandaria comes out.
They'll bump again. They'll bump with every expansion, but...
Right.
That, you know, that base is going to level out at, like, probably 7 million for a bit, and then again at 5 million, like, further down the line.
Right.
And that'll still be more than enough to sustain it and keep it as the far and away the most popular MMO out
right.
there. Success cannot always be followed by more success. There's a point where, like...
Very well put.
Right. Something's got to give at some point. Next.
Okay. So we got some details on how the 3G connectivity in the Vita is going to work. Now get ready for this. You just spilled your beer.
Yeah.
On your computer.
And
And you just cleaned the down here, too. It is foaming out of the bottle into his mouth. Did you get that on your phone? Oh, he shook his head no. That's good.
God damn it. You cover for a little bit.
That's fine. I'm just going to explain this. Just listen, at least, while I'm talking.
Okay, I'm listening.
Go get in your bathroom. Jeez Louise. This is why we shouldn't drink and podcast. Anyway, so the 3G plans in Japan. Quit singing. I'm trying to talk to the people.
Can they hear it?
I don't know.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Probably not.
I'm singing the Skyrim theme.
He was singing the Skyrim theme. Jeez, talking about 3G data plans on the Vita.
Man, that sounds like the most boring. I'm glad this is the thing I'm missing out on. Hurry up and talk about it. When I come, I'm done cleaning up my beer. You're over with it.
Okay, so you harkening back to ye olden days of AOL, you can buy the plans for hours of use. So there's like 20 hours or 100 hours. And the 20 hours will expire after a month. The 100 hours will expire after 180 days.
Did you use that comparison to AOL to invoke a negative connotation?
Yes. I don't know if they heard that.
I got a little bit on my phone. I like it. That's not bad.
Anyway, here's what's funny. Let's say, like, you don't need 3G on your Vita all the time. So, you're going to go on vacation. You're like, okay, I'll buy 20 hours of 3G.
Yes, sir.
If that expires, the SIM card becomes unusable. You have to go buy a new SIM card.
I don't understand that. That sounds dumb.
It's real dumb. You can pick up your mic and do what you're doing.
I'm down.
Anyway, so that's really stupid. So yeah, there is an unlimited month-to-month plan, but I don't know who would do that.
I'm back.
It's really dumb.
Yeah, it's the dumbest. What's next?
That story was completely derailed. Rumors strongly indicate that the Simpsons arcade game is coming to XBLA and PSN.
This pleases me greatly.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for a home port of this game since I was 5.
Yeah, pretty much.
not lying.
Yeah.
So, this is great news. I loved this game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget the time at Chuck E. Cheese's. I was in, kindergarten in the first grade. Me and my friends beat it. I was Homer. It was epic, man. Final fight with Mr. Burns.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Funny, I remember that vividly.
I know. I remember it.
Vividly. But yeah, that'll be great if that comes out. I've been asking for that. I'm sure there's some point in the podcast where I've talked about how I want that to come out. It's always been my favorite of the Konami brawlers.
It's very whimsical.
Well, it's well made, really.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Let's see. To you poor, poor Call of Duty Elite subscribers who've had connectivity issues all week, you're getting a free month. Hooray.
That's what you get.
Yes. MMO is going free to play. This is every week there's more. I love it. So EverQuest 2, after kind of doing a sort of free to play that was separate from the main game, is going completely free to play.
That's nice.
And they're combining the two services together. It's really restricted, though.
First off, you have to play EverQuest 2.
Yeah, that's a problem. It kind of works like DCUO, where there's the free, there's the one if you've paid $5 for anything, you get bumped up to silver, and then there's gold, where you're just paying the monthly fee. But if you're any of the two lower ones, you can't get all the spells.
You know what I would watch?
Huh?
I'd watch a documentary on a really hardcore EverQuest 2 guild.
Yeah.
What is
that'd
that
be
like?
Interesting.
What do they do? I don't get
really
it.
Interesting.
If you are the greatest EverQuest 2 guild in the world, what does that get you? If you're one of the top 100 greatest World of Warcraft guilds, you got some claim to fame.
Right.
Almost. They get nothing.
That's an interesting point, right?
There's got to be somebody, right? They're producing end-of-game content. Someone must be playing it.
There's a new expansion coming out in January.
Yeah, someone's playing that, right? What's that like?
Which will not be included for free, by the way.
I feel like it's a really weird culture. I don't know. Whoever these people are, they're in hiding.
Keep in mind,
let's find
this game came out the same time as World of Warcraft.
That's funny. But yeah, let's find these people. I want to know. If you play EverQuest 2, constantly, let me know. Tell me all about it. I'm not joking. I find it incredibly interesting. I am not being sarcastic.
I know you're not.
It's what do you do? I don't get... Like, oh, well, like any of these things. Like, you know, who's playing Asheron's Call 1 still? And like, oh, we got to go raid. What?
Like, you haven't done it already a million times?
Ah, oh, it's crazy.
Yep.
Imagine if you're like, I want to play Asheron's Call 1 now. You go in there, and like, that community. Wonder how noob-friendly that'll be.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm brand new here.
Where do I get new skills?
Oh, man. That's an old game.
Yeah, that's a good game. I liked it.
That would be interesting. Like, I'm going to play Asheron's Call 1.
Yeah, just to see how,
see how that goes.
Let's see. Star Trek Online is also going free to play January 17th.
We knew it was, but yeah, now we have a date.
Yeah, we have a date.
So that's good. I knew it was happening.
Yep.
I thought by the end of the year, but I was off by a month.
Here, I know you'll be strongly opinionated on this one. Steam has been the hack sword.
Yeah, this was about a hot story for about 2 minutes, and then everyone moved on because it's Steam and everyone loves them. Seriously, you cannot deny the hypocrisy.
I think you've got a vendetta against Valve.
I do not have a vendetta against Valve.
As you were reading the story to me, you left out keywords.
AJ, they admit that credit card info may have been seen. You don't think it's a big deal?
Encrypted credit card.
They don't encrypt them. I don't know what that means. I'm not a hacker.
I know you're not. Let me explain.
You're not a hacker either.
I understand what encryption is. I've been trying to explain to you all week.
I know, AJ. I've seen a James Bond movie, too. I know what an encryption is.
Okay.
It's stupid. No, you don't think there's at least a small amount of hypocrisy where when this happened to Sony, it was a story for about 2 months. Every day. It happened to Valve. Everyone's like, oh, no. Okay.
When it happened to Sony, there's a few differences. Okay?
Oh, I know. Everyone was pissed off because they didn't quote-unquote handle it well.
Well, they didn't tell anybody for a week and a half.
Oh, God.
It also brought down the entire PSN.
But that's interesting because they brought it down so that they could fix it. Valve was not taking down Steam to fix it.
Because Steam was not hacked. The Steam forums were hacked.
I guess so. They better beef up the security there.
They did. They took the forums down for a day and fixed it.
Yeah, well, I wonder how nice and clean it is now. It's so hip. There's hypocrisy to it.
I'll agree. There's some.
Nobody was upset about this. It was a security breach. Look, at the end of the day, it's a security breach, and that was the thing. If you were upset because PSN was down or this or that, whatever. I thought that we were mostly outraged at the fact that our personal information was at risk. That's still the case here. Our personal information was at risk. It wasn't protected well enough, and now some people may have gotten it.
Yeah.
And people do not care as much this time because it's Valve.
You're right.
And we like Valve because they made Steam. And if anybody attacks Valve, they're evil. It's hypocrisy. Look, I don't have a vendetta against Valve. That's ridiculous. You know how much I love all Valve games that aren't Left 4 Dead? I even like Steam a lot. I do. I really like Steam. I just get annoyed when they're like held up as this like beacon of integrity and like, oh please, they're a business like the rest of them. I don't buy it. I don't buy that Gabe Newell happy face responding to random emails and then they get shown on Reddit. Like, wow, look, Gabe Newell actually personally responded to my email. He's such a nice guy.
That's on Reddit.
Yeah, I go on Reddit all the time. Like, oh, whoop de doo.
Don't go on Reddit.
Whoop de freaking do. I hope you had fun paying $60 for that Left 4 Dead expansion.
I paid $28.
Yeah, wow. Very happy for you. You know, you didn't even play it.
Yes, I did.
You played it one time, I think at least 6 months after it came out.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was 2 months.
It was longer than that. It was quite some time.
Well, I didn't buy it when it came out.
Just suck it down with a katana.
Okay,
next.
So, Ubisoft is holding Beyond Good and Evil 2 Ransom with Rayman Origins.
This logic seems flawed.
Well, they did this with Beyond Good and Evil HD, too, where they hinted at the same thing.
How did Beyond Good and Evil HD do then?
I don't know.
Did you just do okay, so it's not conclusive enough evidence?
But I love the quote from, what's this guy's name? Tony
sure
Key.
French.
He's the VP of Ubisoft or something. Sales VP, excuse me. He says, ultimately, Rayman is Michel Ancel's original creation, and if all the people that love Beyond Good and Evil understand he is more than a one-trick pony, and that if Rayman Origins does well, it gives him more leeway for other opportunities because he has to build up his studio. Just like how Beyond Good and Evil had a whimsical style but included gameplay for adults, Rayman Origins will appeal to more than just younger gamers.
Yeah, this logic seems completely random to me.
It's idiotic. I mean, look.
It's like
I played the demo for Rayman Origins. I'll talk about it later. It's great. But that game for $60 right now, with everything else coming out, come on.
I don't know about that. I don't want to discredit.
I don't want to discredit. It's not going to light the world on fire. It'll probably do fine.
I mean, yeah, I want to have gigantic sales expectations for it, especially if you're going to release it right now.
Yeah. I hate crap like that.
I mean, it's bull. Like, he's just trying to trick people into buying it. That's all he is. I mean, you know, whatever. That's what they do. At this point, if they start making Beyond Good and Evil 2 right now, it'll miss this console cycle.
Right.
So, I don't know. All right, next.
Okay. Da-da. So, Sony's also come up with their solution for future Vita owners who want to transfer their UMD games.
At least there is a solution.
I'll give you that.
I didn't think they'd be able to come up with any of them. And the solution itself's not bad, except for the fee. Well, go ahead, explain it.
Fee is a generous word. The way this will work is there will be a program you'll download on your PSP. You'll launch that program, you put in the UMD, it'll flag your account as having that UMD. This then allows you to, on the PlayStation Store on your Vita, to repurchase the game at a discount. After looking at numbers, it's not so much you're paying a fee to re-download it, you're buying it again, you're just getting a discount.
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing that. It seems like you should just get the game. Maybe pay a dollar.
Well, I guess
they're
worried, I'll just pass around my copy of Wipeout to everybody.
I guess I so. Yeah, there's no way to just, use a copy one time, huh?
Right, but at the same time...
See, now I kind of understand it, then.
Yeah, but it's like... let's say it costs $10 to re-download Wipeout. Are you even going to bother?
No. I mean, look, I think most people probably only have one or two PSP games at most they want to do this with, if at all.
Right.
If I don't know what I would do this with. Maybe the Kingdom Hearts game and maybe Dissidia. That's it.
Dissidia is not even available for downloads. I don't think you could do that.
Dissidia 2 is available for downloads.
Is 2?
What?
Oh, I think Dissidia 2.
Yeah,
no, Square Enix stop? No, Dissidia was the last one.
I think Birth by Sleep was never actually available.
Right.
I don't know. Whatever. I'm not going to complain too much about what PSP games I'm going to be able to play or not play. Yeah, I'm really missing out.
They're going to update the games to use the dual analog stick.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So Capcom is not content to stop pissing off Mega Man fans. Do you see what will be paid DLC in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
Yeah.
A Mega Man X skin for Zero. You gotta pay for that.
Yeah, I gotta pay for that.
They can't just throw that in on the disc. No.
Well,
it probably is on the disc.
I still don't get it. And Mega Man's in Thor's ending, I think.
What?
And other things. Those endings. Yeah. Quote, I say ending generously. I don't know. I'm done trying to figure it out. They're just trolling us now.
Yep.
They hate Mega Man fans. Must be for all the games we bought.
I guess so.
I guess it was all the money we gave them.
Wasn't good enough.
Sorry that I bought 50 games with the word Mega Man in the title. Including re-releases and collections. Next.
So Telltale may be in a bit of a PR snafu.
Which is always interesting. Here's another company that you don't typically see get a lot of bad press.
Yeah, but this is pretty shady if it's true.
Well, apparently... So some guy owns a custom Jurassic Park Jeep, right?
Yeah.
Like in the movie. And Telltale wanted to borrow it from them.
Like for promotion.
For promotion. So they had
the same thing with the DeLorean when Back to the Future came out.
Yeah. So they had it shipped around all over the place at PAX and all these other events. Apparently returned it in a pretty poor condition, and Telltale is refusing responsibility and won't pay it.
Yeah, I don't understand how you do that. Clearly you had it.
Yeah, well, I guess they're saying it was...
You should have bought some insurance.
Yeah, it's pretty shady. Of course, this thing's going viral now, so... And I know that Telltale's will probably do everything it can to keep their good image, so they'll probably cut this guy a check pretty soon.
Yeah.
But still, bad move.
That's too bad. They, ripped the seat.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
I know.
Whoops.
Maybe now it's... What are the T-Rex toys just say,
Battle damage
or whatever.
Yeah, battle damage.
Rip off the ribs of a dinosaur. Battle damage Jeep. And finally, the Mario games are pretty inoffensive.
Yeah,
happy,
I agree.
Colorful, no real, cartoon violence. But PETA's got to pick a fight. They take issue with the Tanuki suit, and they see it as encouraging people to wear fur.
God.
They've made their own little spoof game where it's Mario viciously tearing apart a raccoon and putting on its
body. They always do these spoof game things.
It's a desperate cry for attention.
I like when they did the Super Meat Boy one. I like how The Team Meat basically trolled them into making it, remember?
And then they took that character, the vegan boy, and put him into the PC version of Super Meat Boy.
They don't care. No one cares about what PETA says.
I know, it's just funny, that's all.
I don't know if PETA gets funded to do this stupid shit. Must be just like a few stupid millionaire vegetarian assholes.
Yep.
Is that it for the news?
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's get a little topical then, I guess.
Okay.
All right, so, first thing. Twilight Princess will be remembered as one of the lesser Zelda games.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Well, I'll tell you what. Reviews for Skyward Sword, I thought that Twilight Princess was kind of signaling a decline in maybe not the quality of Zelda games, because what can you say, but the perception of them.
Yeah.
Because people were, like, starting to dare to give Zelda games, like, an 8 or whatever. And Skyward Sword is actually getting reviewed very well.
Yeah, well, Twilight Princess will be remembered as the game that played it safe. I mean, you turn into a wolf, and that was really the only big change. I mean, yeah, it had the motion control, but you knew it was tacked on. It was a GameCube game that got...
It seemed like they were really desperate to just try to make a bigger Ocarina of Time.
Right.
And they mostly did. And it was fine at doing that. The story notes were not very memorable. I know Ganon was there again. I don't know why he was there. And I didn't like the whole turning into a wolf thing. Like, you know, they all have their kind of gimmick now.
Mm-hmm.
Though as far as those go, the wolf thing, eh.
I heard that the harp that you play in Skyward Sword is not that great.
Well, that's not the gimmick. It's just they all have a musical instrument now,
right,
too. But I assume the gimmick is flying in Skyward Sword. Well, the gimmick is the motion plus,
of course.
Let's be honest. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, you always have people, you know, a lot of people say Ocarina of Time is their favorite Zelda. And then there's this group of people that will say Wind Waker or Majora's Mask, mm-hmm. or they'll go more old school. Like, so they'll throw a Link to the Past at you. I don't know who...
Twilight Princess doesn't come up.
I don't hear very many people say Twilight Princess was my absolute favorite Zelda game. It was good.
Yeah, people liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't offensive, but yeah, I played it pretty safe. I still remember how boring and long that opening was.
They're always boring and long.
Yeah,
always
I'm kind of expecting that again. But, you know, once again, it was just very big, I remember. Not as big as it was made out to be. It wasn't a 70-hour game. People say you still beat it in 38 hours like any other Zelda game. I mean, I'll still go with Wind Waker any day.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But, yeah, we got Skyward Sword coming up. I wonder if Skyward Sword, you know, there's a lot of hyperbole going on right now. Oh, this is the new best Zelda game. I wonder if that notion will stick around.
Yeah,
because
we'll
people
see.
Did say that about Twilight Princess when
right,
it came out.
Right, they always do.
They always overreact. Like, it's the best. That's my game reviewer voice.
Okay.
It's like a Murloc.
All right.
Oh, God. Okay. After this month, Portal 2 is no longer in Game of the Year contention.
I wouldn't say that.
So up there, you think?
I think so.
No, I think so, too. I just, you know, playing devil's advocate here.
It's just going to be, you know, will it fall into that trap of people kind of forgetting about it?
I think it is. Yeah, that's kind of the real question is it going to be hurt because it came out so early in the year?
I know.
It's not going to be as fresh in people's minds as, say, Skyrim or Batman or Uncharted, you know?
Right.
I think because of that, it won't win as many of the Game of the Year as it probably could have. If it came out in December, I bet it would have swept Game of the Year awards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying it would personally be my Game of the Year. I don't know.
But, I mean, we've proven that you can succeed in that time space. I mean, Mass Effect 2 got some nods. I mean, Red Dead last year.
Right. Well, but those years also didn't have ridiculous falls.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
this.
2011 is a pretty insane year for quality releases.
Another question is if Valve even cares.
No, they don't.
I don't think it matters too much. I mean, sure, it's a nice pat on the back, but I bet Portal 2 to them is a pretty distant memory. I'm sure they've moved on to whatever they're doing, minus the occasional DLC.
Right.
They probably have the interns working on. But, yeah, no, it's definitely still there. It's going to be a top fiver. It should be a top fiver on everybody's list.
Yeah, I agree.
Super Mario 3D Land is the best portable game in the series yet.
I think that's fair to say.
Well, I kind of mean main series here. I'm not talking about, like, the spinoffs, because then...
Well, yeah.
And, if you're talking, like, Mario and Luigi and stuff.
And, I mean, what original Mario portable games have we really gotten? Mario Land 1 and 2.
Mario Land 2 was really good.
Yeah.
And then we had all the remakes for the Game Boy Advance.
Mm-hmm.
And Game Boy Color had the remake of the original, actually. Mm-hmm. Then,
New Super Mario Bros.,
which was interesting. It was way too easy, I remember.
Yeah.
And it played it very safe. Wasn't nearly as compelling as even New Super Mario Bros. Wii. But the whole thing there was that it was the first 2D Mario game since Super Mario World at that point,
right.
I guess, huh? Yeah. But, I think you can go with this. And, you know, we'll talk about it later, I guess, specifically why we like it. But I would say yes. Next. Mega Man X skin for Zero and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is a decent compromise for fans. We kind of talked about this.
No, it's a troll.
It's a troll. Okay, well, even besides that, first off, you're just playing as Zero. And, they're kind of similar. X can get the Zero Blade and whatnot. But, also, I don't like X as a character. I like classic Mega Man.
I like X, but...
Why do you like X better?
Mega Man X is one of my favorite games.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I just don't like the character as much.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like classic Mega Man, blue and cyan. I need all that extra armor shit. That stupid red diamond thing on his forehead. Nope. Give me classic Mega Man. Next, Rayman Origins will be the sleeper hit of the season.
I don't know. I'm afraid it's going to get buried.
Well, that would make it a sleeper hit.
But I don't even think it'll hit.
You don't think it'll do well enough for sleeper status? Like, Dark Souls is no longer a sleeper status. Now it's just a hit.
Yeah.
It'll do well, but it won't be, in the top 10. For sales.
Well, I mean, it's got a few things going against it. It's
not exactly the world's most popular franchise.
No, that, and from what I've gathered and from what I've played, it looks like this kiddie, funny, cartoony thing, but it's really hard. It's a really hard game.
Well, the new Super Mario Bros. Wii was kind of like that, too.
Right. But then, just, it also has a little bit of that issue that I think Halo ODST had. Or it was originally announced a downloadable title for $20, and then all of a sudden became full retail. Yeah.
I mean, look, the quality is very strong, though. If it's long enough, I'm not going to complain about the price
from
what I played. I have no problems with that.
I just, like I said, with everything else coming out right now, I feel like it's a hard sell to say, get this 2D platform.
Christmas time, you can have a couple games on your list. It'll be on mine.
Yeah.
Or my birthday list, whatever, wink, wink, but.
Okay.
Alrighty. Okay. Our week in gaming.
Where do you want to start? Should we go chronologically?
Let's just start with Skyrim.
Skyrim!
Which is very, very good.
Okay. Let me just put it to you like this.
Yes, sir.
Well, to
hold off on the hyperbole a little
bit. Spoil a bit.
I know you're excited.
Modern Warfare 3, I played it. I beat it. Less than 5 hours. The day Skyrim came out on Friday, I played it for over 10. In a day.
And you're nowhere. You accomplished nothing.
Yeah. This game is... It is exactly the reason I want to play video games, because I want to go into this vast open world where I feel like I'm just exploring, discovering, and affecting things and doing cool stuff.
And it's interesting because it builds upon so much of Oblivion.
Well, it's
but it gets rid of almost everything bad.
Yeah, it's
about
you took Oblivion, which is already one of my favorite games ever, and you make it better,
a lot better,
in every possible way.
Just the way they simplify sounds like a dirty word for a Western RPG, but they just get rid of things that you realize we just didn't need. Like stats
constitution.
And they're no, you just have health and you can increase your health. Why haven't we always been doing that?
Yeah, it's endurance increases your health, constitution increases your, just call it health.
Right. They get rid of the durability for weapons. It's not really fun to go back to town and fix your weapon or carry a repair hammer. So that's gone. Good.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
Yes.
This pleases me greatly. Characters are, the other things are just a matter of technology being better. The game looks a lot better. Beautiful, actually. You would think there's not a whole lot of diversity in the land. And there isn't, but there still is more than in Cyrodiil, almost.
Yeah.
Because you have, the
snowy mountains, you got forests.
Very snowy mountains and plains. You have, these kind of big forests. You have more swamp, marshy areas and stuff like that, which all looks very good. But, and the AI is, of course, a lot better. And the quests also just seem to be designed a lot better. And it seems like... In Oblivion, I would fight a lot, and I would be constantly resting in the middle of a dungeon for an hour just to get all my health and... magic back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just that they make you stronger, or that the health and mana just regenerates a lot faster, which I do think it does.
Yeah.
But there's a lot less downtime in this game.
Oh, yeah,
A lot less downtime, which makes the pace, just makes it more fun to play.
Right.
Because you don't have to worry about finding a bed. And other convenient things, you don't have to go sleep to level up.
Yeah.
Stupid things like that. Got rid of that. And... I just love that, you have the main quest line. There's just all these other quest lines that are just as substantial almost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I even touched the Civil War storyline.
Yeah, I really haven't either.
Right.
I have the option to go join one side or the other, but...
And, it's cool because they do take... Since, sometimes they'll go into more of the mythology and do some more interesting quests. Like, I had a quest that dealt with Shea'Gorath, who was a major character in the Shivering Isles expansion for Oblivion, and that was actually pretty cool. Fun nod to the past, too. It's just a very good-looking game.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see. And I'm a little jealous. You got on your computer. I'm playing on my Xbox.
Load times are so nice on my computer.
Oh, I'm so jealous of that. And you're getting, like, a nice, silky, smooth 60 frames per second.
The interface is very nice for both, though.
God, yeah. Compared to the Oblivion interface for menus, oh, my God.
Like, it's not a pain in the butt to have to switch between spells and
weapons. Well, they did a very smart thing. So you can mark items and spells and whatever you want as a favorite. And on the 360, I'm not sure I was on the PC, you push up or down on the D-pad, that brings up your favorite list. It's just alphabetical, there's no categorization, so you can pretty quickly find things. You can still bind two things to the left and right arrow. So I keep, like, my healing spell on left, and whatever is my primary offensive spell on my right. Oh, I should say, I'm playing pretty much a straight-up mage.
You want a full mage?
Yes, I want full mage.
I'm doing, like a mage. I usually have a spell in the left hand and a sword in the right hand, mm-hmm. so, like, a Gandalf. I don't know.
Battle Mage.
Battle Mage. Yeah, Battle Mage. Call it that.
Yes.
I like the class system, and by that I mean the lack of a class system.
Yeah. Well, it's great because, I mean, I'm playing a mage, and normally if you, like, in any other RPG, if you pick mage, you're never going to pick locks. You're never going to sneak around. You're not going to, but, like, you just do it and you get better at it. Like, right. I'm a mage who can pick locks.
Right.
I like that.
It's very organic. It just makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's fun because they're challenging, sort of. You know, like why does they almost looked at the basis of Western RPG and they ask a lot of questions like
why do we have this?
Constitution? Why do we have classes? Do we even need to do that?
Right.
And they said no in a lot of places, and it really works a lot better for it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it too is even just taking lessons from Fallout. Like you have the perks, so like you love like. I think when you level up a stat, I don't think that necessarily even does anything. It just gives you access to more perks. So if you level up one, you know, single-handed combat, does that actually progressively make it stronger, or is that just now you can get another perk here? I think it's the latter.
Say that again.
Okay, for instance, if I level up single-handed combat to level 30, does that actually mean that it gets stronger every time, or does that just mean now I can unlock this level 30
perk? It is getting stronger.
Is it getting
stronger? I believe so.
I thought it was more of the latter.
Because I've noticed like mana cost for my destruction spells going down further than
I thought so too, but I thought it's because I was getting perks that do that, or that increase my mana generation.
That
I thought
too.
That was more important.
No, but I mean, like, when I look at the description of a spell, the cost has gone down.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting. I need to get higher level magic spells, by the way, but that's beside the point. The dragon fights are really cool.
Oh, like
especially the random ones.
Yeah, the first time you get into a random dragon fight, it's just the coolest damn thing. It's well, like the first one I had happen to me, it just happened under really cool circumstances, where I was in the College of Magic, and I was in the courtyard, and I started talking to a guy, and then this dragon like flew into the courtyard. He like ran away. So, like, me and all, like, the college mages were battling this dragon in the courtyard.
That was awesome.
So freaking cool. And what's great is when you absorb the dragon soul, everyone reacts to it. Like, it makes you feel really important. So they're just like, oh, he's dragonborn. Like, they just, like, they get, like, all hushed and revered about it. It's really neat.
That's the thing else I want to say. Oh, I just like the dragon shell, too. Basically, they added, like, cooldown spells.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the dragon shouts are great.
Yeah.
They're so fun.
Yeah. So, you know, it's cool because some of them are kind of slightly, I don't want to say overpowered, but they're powerful enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's great with, my favorite so far is just the flame breath because I love it because if you find someone who's kind of low level, they'll use that thing to them, you know, kill them, and they'll send them flying too.
Mm-hmm. And what's great too is they travel through groups of enemies. So if you line them up,
right.
I just got one that causes a blizzard. I haven't gotten to use it yet.
No, that's cool. I got the thunderstorm one. I haven't really used it yet either. It's even that for a dragon fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I have. Do you have anything against it?
I mean, a few nitpicks. I mean, there's glitches.
Well, any open
world
game.
It's a Bethesda open world game.
Any open world game. I mean,
you know, and I mean, you know, some of this generic stuff people say repeat. There's a lot of guards out there who used to be an adventurer like me till they took an arrow to the knee. Yeah, you know, little things like
little
that.
Things,
like
sometimes, like people, when you get close to a person, they'll talk to you as if you wanted to talk to them, or they'll say something to you. And sometimes, like, I'm just trying to listen to some NPC, and somebody in a crowd, since I'm next to them, will start talking to me.
Yeah, like, it's like,
I'm like, shut up.
there was one thing that was weird. I mean, I guess I overthought the game a bit, but I needed to do a quest where I suspected this lady of being a vampire. So I sneak in her house, and her lover or whatever is in the house. And from what I could tell, she'd seduced him to be like her protector during the daytime when she's asleep. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to kill this guy. So I grab this journal that proves she's a vampire, and he starts trying to fight me. So I run outside, run by the guards, thinking they'll help or stop him. They just go, oh, fight. Okay. So I run to the Jarl's palace, run inside. She's asleep. I wake her up. She gets up. She goes, have you found any evidence yet? And meanwhile, the guy is standing there hitting me. And she's like, calmly asking me questions. I'm like, God damn it.
What are they going to do? Have the person record the dialogue three times for different circumstances?
I know. It's just,
I mean, we're a bit away from that.
It's just, you're getting into that uncanny valley of open world now, where when so many things work the way you think they will, when something doesn't like that,
I think you should have been able to know that you were playing against the game's rules.
I kind of did. I just wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah, you should have known that you would have only been disappointed.
Right.
But I think, I like Skyrim a lot, and I want to play more of it.
What's so great is just, like, things like that dragon attacking me at the college. Like, you get these emergent, like, mini stories like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes this game so fun to me. It's just all those little character moments that happen, they're completely unique to you.
Very explorer-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say about
it? I want to go play it right now.
Yeah, I know. Well, then let's hurry up here.
Okay.
All right, other big game.
Modern Warfare. Should I get that out of the way?
Oh, shoot. I guess so. Just a little bit. I'm sure everyone...
It's Modern Warfare. I mean, the single player, like I said, it took me 5 hours, not even. The story's ludicrous, but the set pieces are really cool. I mean, when a building falls on you, it's pretty damn cool. I'm not going to lie.
I'd hope so.
Super easy. I don't remember this ability being quite so useful in previous games. Like, if you're sort of aiming near someone, you squeeze the left trigger to look down the sights, it'll lock onto them.
Yeah, I never even realized it does that, but it does. And it, like, is incredibly useful.
You just
kind
of keep feathering the left trigger, and you hit everything.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
And I think it's because of games like this, people consider Uncharted 3 to be hard.
Right.
But, yeah.
It's funny, because you go from Uncharted and Modern Warfare, which are these super directed, scripted, narrative driven experiences. Then when you play something like Skyrim, it's just like wide open.
You're just going back to Skyrim now for no reason.
I know I am, but it just makes you realize how diverse video games can be.
Oh, well, there you go.
But yeah, and then I played the multiplayer. It's still frustrating as hell to me. I just don't get it. I even went back and played Halo Reach multiplayer to see if I wasn't crazy, and I had like a blast playing that. I didn't get angry or anything. So
yeah, there you go.
It's just not for me, I guess. But thank you, Redbox. It only cost me $4.40 to play it.
Mario 3D Land. Which I got a copy of. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I've only played the first world and a half.
It's great, though, because it plays like a 3D Mario game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since Mario 64. Controls very well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can you agree with me how much bullshit that was early on when people were like, oh, the controls don't feel
right. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. It plays great.
Yeah, it feels exactly like a 3D Mario game. But the interesting thing is that, unlike all the other 3D Mario games, which are kind of open, Mario Galaxy not so much, this one is very much you play through a level, and then at the end you go in the flagpole, and then it's over.
Right, yeah. You're just going from A to B. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it is.
It's kind of what this is. It's like there's a lot of old school flavor to it. Like, the power-ups are more important.
The power-ups are like Mario power-ups should be. You just hit a box, it pops out, and you grab it.
Right.
There's no timer.
Well, that's just that's not the way they've been handled for the most part in the 3D ones.
Right.
More so in Galaxy. Galaxy had much more power-ups than Sunshine or 64 did. 64, the power-ups were just those. You had the hats. The invisible and the metal box, and they only lasted very shortly.
Right.
This one, you get a fire flower, and you have it.
Yeah.
And you can store an extra one, just like in Mario World.
Right.
The Tanuki suit is great. I know some people are hung up with the fact you can't fly. I don't know why they think it'd be fun if the game was broken, but...
Just, what's great to me in the game is when you find yourself actually using the 3D to navigate.
Well, yeah, they have these moments, too, where they specifically make it so that if this wasn't in 3D, you wouldn't know what to do. They're like playing
tricks
with your eyes, right?
And
even like you can turn it off the 3D and look at it. And it's kind of neat.
Yeah, but I don't even mean that. I just mean like when you're like lining up a jump on a platform and there's like a Goomba and you're like, well, he's up here, so I need to jump to this spot, and you just do it.
It's definitely the best showcase of 3D in a game I've seen yet.
Also, I like the fact that the game's gyroscope controls are when you use like sightseeing binoculars. So the context of having to like rigidly move the system in front of you to maintain the 3D actually kind of makes sense because that's what you do if you're looking through binoculars.
And you can still
like
just
that.
Use the pad anyways. Oh, what was I going to say? No. I had another thought. Totally lost it. But the camera's always fixed, which is good because I mean, it always works, but it's cool because they're kind of directing what is going to pop out at you.
One thing that's cool, too, is you get two 3D options. You can either let the game exist in the positive space or the negative space.
Mm-hmm. And both look pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the negative space. I like things coming at me.
I was going more positive space than I switched it. I didn't even know at first. I think it was started in a positive space, and I didn't understand. But I'm pretty close to being. And it's fun because like each level has 3 gold coins. You can go back and get them. You can spend them on things. It's just
happened to you when you were trying to beat Bowser and you kept dying and it like gave you something.
Yeah, I think it's like the version of the super guy where I die too often, so it just gave me like a really super Tanuki suit that nothing could just kill me. So I got to run through the end.
You seemed pretty insulted.
I was kind of insulted though. They go, "Fuck you! I would have gotten it." But I mean, it's a 3D Mario game. It's on the 3DS. I feel like it's going to be a little on the shorter side for these things, because there's 8 or 9 worlds, and each world has like 5 stages.
Yeah,
so it's like 40, and they're all on the shorter side. It's not the size of Mario Galaxy or anything.
Right.
But it is a 3D Mario game, and the 3D is really cool.
Right.
I know a lot of people don't like 3D. I'm sorry for liking it, but I think this is definitely the best 3DS game so far.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
So then I started Assassin's Creed, got a copy of that. So far, I mean, I just finally kind of got to Constantinople. The opening was a little not very well done, I want to say. It's a little, because they had so much to do. And, like, it starts with this kind of awkward montage
kind of narrated. The story so far.
Kind of help you. And it's like, as someone's talking to Desmond. And stuff. And you when you start out playing as Ezio, you don't really quite understand why he's where he is. It's not like with Brotherhood where it literally ended. I mean, it literally started right where Assassin's Creed 2 ended.
Yeah.
There's been a large gap here. You don't really quite understand what's going on. And it's not made entirely important why these memories are important yet.
I see.
I don't want to give anything away because it would all be kind of spoilish territory. But so far, my issue's just kind of been with some of the story. It seems like it's settling down now that I'm in the city, and I assume it's basically just going to turn to Assassin's Creed Brotherhood again, except in Constantinople instead of Rome.
Right.
But
one thing I'm curious is to try for myself. I guess one of the things they added to the game now is, you remember the Borgia Towers?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Now they're like, it's like a tower defense game.
Well, it's like they'll be invaded every once in a while.
I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, maybe it's fun.
It could be.
Tower defense.
Yeah, it could be.
But, those are just some early impressions on that. All right, that's that.
Wait, I feel there's something else I played that we should talk about.
You played nothing else and you know it's...
Well, the Rayman Origins demo.
Well, yeah, it's fun. It's cool you talk about it.
It's incredibly fun.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
All right, come on.
Also, I can only say I was in it, but I can't say anything about it. But I did play Star Wars The Old Republic this weekend.
Very good. Good for you. All
right. I'm smiling right now. Just as an
aside.
You're
not allowed to say that.
I'm allowed to smile.
Saints Row the Third, which everyone seems to think is pretty good.
That game has no appeal to me. It's literally like a condensation of all the shitty things about Grand Theft Auto that I don't like.
I think I'd almost like it more because at least it picks
one side
or the other.
Yeah, it embraces it.
And embraces
I guess.
Being stupid, whereas Grand Theft Auto like kind of wants to be serious sometimes. Assassin's Creed Revelations for PS3 360. Super Mario 3D Land. Need for Speed the Runs comes out.
This game, I forgot about this.
Yeah, for 360,
yeah, good
PS3,
luck with that.
PC, Wii, and 3DS. So basically, this is Need for Speed with QTEs.
Yeah.
Years after QTEs were cool.
Yeah.
Or even considered okay.
Yeah.
Man, this is another ridiculous week. Halo Combat Reach Evolved Anniversary. Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
Close.
Which
I'm excited for it. I mean, I don't think people understood what this is.
All the
reviews and previews I've read have like criticized it for like not updating things and that's the whole point is that the only thing they updated was the graphics. They made a very big deal how it's the original game with just new graphics laid over top. Like you can't update anything; it would break it completely.
Can't put a jetpack in there.
No, but people are like, oh, like why couldn't they have like changed the way the Warthog handles to the way it does in Halo Reach? Like, no, that's the whole point. just, I don't know what people were expecting.
Rayman Origins for Wii, PS3, 360. Don't get that for the Wii. This game has to be in HD.
Yeah, seriously.
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for 360, PS3. That's also this Tuesday. Jeez.
Wow.
Heavy Fire Afghanistan for PS3, Wii, 360. Jurassic Park game comes out tomorrow. I did not know that.
Yep.
360, PC, PS3, and Mac. Man, that is going to get lost. Good luck
with
that.
It was supposed to come out for PC earlier in the year. They pushed back the PC version to come out the same time as the console versions.
I don't know
now.
Why.
I want to play it, but...
It's weird, because so this isn't episodic. It's just...
No, it is and it isn't.
What are you talking about? There's a box copy.
Because on the Xbox, there's really no good way of doing episodic, so it's just coming out on all the episodes on a disc on a 360.
What happens if you buy for PC? I mean, all the episodes are out at the same time, right?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, they're all, I think. I'm not really sure.
It must be one package now.
I mean, they're still broken up in episodes, but I think you just get them all at once for like $30 or whatever it is.
Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games for the Wii. Sure, it'll be crappy. Dynasty Warriors 7 Extreme Legends.
Extreme with an X. It's a standalone expansion that supercharges the Dynasty Warriors 7 world.
Well, thank God. And Kinect Disneyland Adventures for Kinect.
My God, is this? I didn't realize how crazy this week was.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
So I looked at this.
All right. Thanks for listening to Explain Bro Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at Exploding Barrel and on facebook.com/Exploding Barrel.
We got a Google Plus page, too.
Yeah, sure.
Just for kicks. Why not?
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Right on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye. You're not a hacker either!
The Exploding Barrel Podcast is now part of the Couchbound Network. Check out couchbound.net for new episodes of the Exploding Barrel Podcast, along with other podcasts featuring all kinds of geeky, nerdy stuff.